Name the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, my beloved, we heard a long epistle, which was of St. Paul, and St. Paul was telling about his lifestyle, how much persecutions, how much terrible things he had to go through. And one of the things that even is unbelievable type of a thing that he was able to, after the crash of the ship, he was able to be inside the sea, inside of the water for 3 days and three nights. Well, you and me can, maybe we can be there for, 1 minute, maybe 2 minutes at the most, but he was able to do that. Of course, it was miraculous. He did it only through the grace of God. And the other time he was bitten by a snake, a terrible poisonous snake that those who watched him being bitten in the arm, they felt that, well, he's going to die any second now. But he just took the snake out and threw it in the bonfire, my beloved, and he was not harmed. And here was a persecutor. He was a persecutor that had persecuted the Christians, had brought so much fear into some of the Christians, because he was dragging them out and taking them out to jails and destroying the Christians. And he was going to Damascus to do the same thing. And Lord had intervened, and he had blinded him with a great light, and then he heard the voice asking Saul at that time, "Why do you persecute me?" And he says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am Jesus Christ, whom you are persecuting." And that converted him, and he was then healed from his blindness, and he's become one of the greatest apostles, as he had worked probably more than any other apostles, as he has said. And this was the saint, the church honored him as being the first out of the apostles, St. Peter and St. Paul, which we're celebrating today, the holiday. Tomorrow is going to be the synopsis of all the 12 apostles together. And my beloved, well, what happened to St. Paul? Here's an example. St. Paul was a persecutor, and he has changed. Nobody could, whatever, in any logic, think that he would be changing from being a persecutor of the Christians and all of a sudden become a fervent preacher and teacher of the Christianity to all the world. And same thing with St. Peter. St. Peter was vowing that he would die for Christ and he would never turn on him. And yet when the first time when the Lord was taken over to Caiaphas and St. Peter followed him, and when he was approached and said, "You're also one of them, you're with Christ," and he denied it. He says, "I don't know him," and he did that thrice until finally, of course, the Lord prepared him, told him that's going to happen. And then he went out and wept so hard that he wept all his lifetime. Every time he heard the rooster crow, he wept, remembering the sins they had done. Yet the Lord, of course, had forgiven him totally. He had forgiven him after he has resurrected himself. He came up to him and says, "Simon Peter, do you love me more than these?" And he says, "You know I love you." Then he says, "Well, take care of my sheep." And he asked him second time and a third time. And finally, St. Peter got offended. And he said, "My Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And the Lord said, "Well, then you take care of my sheep." And then he warned him and told him that when he was young, he was able to go and do what he wanted to and so on. But when he's going to get older, somebody's going to tie up his hands and take him where he doesn't want to go and so on. Of course, he prepared for him. And he was martyred for the Lord. And when they wanted to crucify him, he had so much love and respect for the Lord. He says, "I'm not worthy," because he remembered his sins. And he says, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. Crucify me upside down with a head down." And that's what they did to him. And my beloved, these are the apostles, disciples. And of course, St. Paul had written 27 different writings to the people and to the world. And out of the 27, the church has taken 14 of them that put it in the gospel. And you have the 14 writings of St. Paul with beautiful instructions for us to comprehend the Holy Scriptures and the teachings of the Lord and so on. And St. Peter had a few writings, and but they were filled with great love and again with the teachings that we all absolutely should adhere to. One of the greatest things that all the apostles are begging us and telling us to do, that we have to love one another, that we have to carry the burdens of each other. And one of the disciples said that when explaining what love is, and finally at the end of the paragraph where he explains what love is to be patient and long-suffering, and finally love it, and the outcome of the love is to carry the burdens of each other. Are you and I, are we doing that? Are we carrying the burdens of each other? Or are we getting upset when somebody crosses our will, when somebody does something wrong? Do we judge them and then we get irritated and angry? Well, if that's the case, we're not following the orders the apostles had given us to do, or the Lord, if we don't have the love that we want. Let's ask a question to ourselves. Do I want to be judged when I do something wrong and somebody spots it? Do I want somebody to judge me for it? Or do I want them to say to themselves, oh, the poor guy, he messed up, and God forgive him, and please don't hold it against me. He didn't know what he was doing. Well, if I'm honest, I would say that that's the way I want people to look at me when I fall down in some sin, and I would want people to feel sorry for me and to pray and asking the Lord to forgive me and for what I have done, but not to judge me and holler at me and get mad at me and so on. Well, if that's the case, if you feel the same way, then let's try to stop then hollering at other people when we get mad, whether it's our spouse, our husband, our wife, or children, when we see them doing something wrong. Let's try to carry their burdens and pray for them quiet and in meekness. And if we have to correct somebody according to the apostles, we have to correct them with the spirit of meekness. That's what the apostles tell us. We have to correct them in the spirit of meekness. Look in your heart and see, are you always correcting your spouse, your brother, your sister in the spirit of meekness? Or do you feel a certain anger, irritation when you start correcting? Well, if that's the case, well, let's try to correct that, change that. Let's try to do it according to the gospel, according to the New Testament rules and how the Lord put out. Let's try to have them love for each other. And you know what is really impossible unless we have that one ingredient, and this is the fear of God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Meaning what? Meaning that we acknowledge His presence. We know that He is with us. He is here. And He sees every action, everything that we do. And He is willing to, more than willing to help us to control ourselves and to be able to put out a hand of love instead of a hand of anger to our brothers and sisters when they do something wrong. My beloved, this is what the Lord is calling for us, and the apostles are calling for us. For what? Well, did you hear in the epistle today what it said about St. Paul? That he was explaining and saying that somebody that he knows, he didn't tell it was himself, out of humility, but the Holy Father says it was himself. But somebody that he knows was taken up, and he doesn't know whether in body or just in spirit, but he was taken on a third heaven, into the kingdom of heaven. And what he's seeing there, they cannot be described. Such a beauty, such a wonderful thing, there's nothing that you can compare. Appear it here on earth, and such a wonderful experience he had. He felt that way. He felt that it was experience that he had. that somebody had, as he said, and isn't that something to look forward to for you and me, to finally be taken up to the kingdom of heaven, to meet the Saint Paul and Saint Peter and those, Saint Andrew and Saint John, the apostle of love, and the most of all, of course, the Lord Himself, and the Mother of God, and all the angels, our guardian angels, and all the angels and the heavenly hosts. Wouldn't it be something to something that we should look forward to, instead of just keeping around on the earth and looking at the things on the earth, how to get ahead, how to meet the ends, or have our ends meet, whatever you call it, and worry about how to provide for ourselves and prepare ourselves for so that we can retire in a good standing. My beloved, we're thinking too much of the earth. We're thinking too much of the things of the temporary. Let's try to put our mind and to think about the heavenly things and just think for us to be able to be there, to be with the holy saints, and not only with the holy saints that we know that have been glorified by the Lord, but even all our relatives that we loved while they were here on earth, and we loved them because they were good and because we have prayed for them and asked the Lord to bring them into the kingdom of heaven, and we can be reunited with all of them. And that's the wonderful, most wonderful thing, my beloved, is to be able to live not for the terrible, for the today, and do like the pagans did, like the Lord said, worry what to eat, what we're going to dress in tomorrow, or what's going to happen to our hair or to our clothes and so on, and all these temporary things, or can we keep the job, or we're going to lose it, and all these worries of the temporary life. These are not the things that the Orthodox Christians should be putting their mind to. Our mind should be looking up into the heaven and looking up into the things that are in heaven, and let's try to strive for that. And to do that, you know, you and me, be honest, we can never make it. We can never make it unless we have supernatural help. And this is the grace of God. Unless we have the grace of God, we cannot conquer the smallest temptation, the smallest passion. We need the grace of God to help us. And how can we acquire it? Well, there is only one way, and that way is humility. Without humility, we will not acquire the grace of God. God resists the proud. So if you and I are proud and we get irritated at our friends and neighbors and loved ones, and if we get uptight, as the word, as the saying is, then you have to know that you don't have that humility that's needed and the meekness. So let's work on it. Let's work it to acquire that meekness and humility so that God will bestow on us more grace. We have received it in our first time when we were baptized and in chrismation. We have received the grace of God, but God doesn't want us to lose sight of Him. He's everywhere present and fill His soul things. He's always with us, and He wants us to remember Him. And if we remember the Lord, then the filthies come. The evil one cannot get us irritated and get inside of our heart to show us, to have us to display angers and or do all those things that the enemy wants us. Because having the Lord in our heart, acknowledging that the Lord with us and He loves us and He died for us, we couldn't do it if we have the love for Him. So let's work on that. Let's work on that. And with the help of the apostles, Peter and Paul, and all the apostles and all the saints, let's just try to humble ourselves to receive the grace of God through which we can enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen.